Today our presenter is Sarah Rice-Hecking, PhD, coach and time matters expert. She is a coach and time matters expert with almost 20 years of experience helping people create and achieve their goals. She draws upon her background and experience as psychologist and researcher to create elegant out-of-the-box solutions for her clients. She was on the faculty at UMass Medical School for 6 years, founded True Focus Coaching in 2005, and was a coach on staff at the Halliwell Center for more than 5 years. As a business savvy entrepreneur, she grew a successful coaching practice during a down economy. Dr. Rice-Hecking is passionate about helping smart, creative adults that have a hard time managing their time and their tasks figure out a way that works for them. She believes that there are no perfect time management systems. You have to find the system that works for you. She also believes that solutions are found by paying attention to the present moment, and that just like Michelangelo had to chip away at the stone to find the statue, you have to get rid of all the extra stuff that is in the core of your life. She offers private and group coaching sessions. And with that, I'm going to turn this over to Dr. Rice-Hecking. Just a little housekeeping. You all have been muted to drown out background noise. However, at the end, we will unmute. And if you have any questions in the meantime, you can use the chat feature. Thank you.
All right. So can you hear me okay, Jennifer? Can everybody hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay, great. Awesome. So welcome. Thank you so much for taking time out of your day to show up and talk with me today and listen to this presentation. I hear people beeping in, so if you're just coming in, you're all good. You're in the right place. Take a deep breath. I want to encourage you to set yourself up for success during the presentation today. So if there's anything that will beep or buzz at you over the next hour or so, feel free to mute that or turn it off completely so that you can really be focused. All right, so as we're getting started here, I want you to know that you're in the right place if you think, I can't believe I have so much to do at work and I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing. Or if you think, if I could just sit down and grind through it, I'd be fine. You might also be thinking that you know you can't do it all at work and home, but you don't know how you will ever say no when everything seems so important. Let me tell you a little bit about what we're going to cover today. We're going to talk about what procrastination and overwhelm are, and why the projects you've planned to do keep sliding into the next day and are renting time on your to-do list for a long time. We're also going to talk about how to bust through procrastination and overwhelm using my 5-step system. And we're going to talk about what positive self-talk really is, when it works, and why it's only one piece of the puzzle. But before we dive into all of that, I want to tell you a little bit more about myself. Thanks so much, Jennifer, for that introduction. The picture on the screen now is me and my husband, Brett, my son, Matt. You can tell Matthew's the one in the middle there. This is us and our most recent vacation. We love to do hiking and biking and kayaking kind of things together. And I want you guys to know I'm a busy working mom too. So whether you're a working mother or not, I want you to know that I get how crazy busy life can be. And I run my own business. I take care of a household. I parent. I'm a member of a community. And I'm involved in a lot of things also. So I really get how crazy busy life can get. And I get that it's really, really important to figure out how to do the most important things in your life. And that time is really our only non-renewable resource. So let me tell you a little bit about my own story and why I have any expertise at all in the area of busting through procrastination and overwhelm. So my story really starts with getting overwhelmed when I went to graduate school. So I have a degree in clinical psychology. I'm a licensed psychologist. Even though my practice right now is coaching, I still keep that license. And Procrastination and overwhelm didn't really start to cause problems for me until I went to graduate school. And when I was there, I learned how to take a really big project, like a research project that lasted over years, and break it down into small chunks and get it accomplished. I also figured out how to manage my own overwhelm and procrastination. So I want you to know that I've, you know, struggled with these things too. I've canceled meetings because I didn't have stuff prepared. I've moved deadlines that were self-imposed because I couldn't meet my own deadlines. I've hidden in my bed. I've pretended I was sick, right? I've done all of those things. So I want you to know you're in good company, and I understand these issues from the inside out. Matter of fact, one of the worst examples in my life of procrastinating actually did happen in graduate school. And I had this great little research job, and what I needed to do was go to the hospital and interview some patients, and then fill out some paperwork to collect the data, send that back to the researching hospital, and then send back another set of paperwork to get paid. And what would happen was I would do all of the work. I'd do the interviewing of the patient. I'd fill out the paperwork for the research data. I'd send that in. But I oftentimes wouldn't send in the paperwork so that I would get paid. And I literally had what amounted to a stack of money on my desk. It was a stack of papers that, had I filled out and sent in, would have been worth a lot of money. But unfortunately, what ended up happening more often than not was I didn't get to filling out the paperwork. And this was a time in my life when every penny counted. And there was really no good reason why I didn't fill out that paperwork and send it in, except that I kept not doing it. I kept procrastinating. And I was really stuck in overwhelm, and my emotions got in the way of me taking the action. So if that happens for you, I want you to know that I have been there also. The other reason why I have a passion about this particular topic is that when I was in graduate school, just at the end of graduate school, when I was defending my dissertation, that big last step to getting your PhD, one of my mentors went away to a conference, and what happened was he passed away. He went away, and one of our colleagues went to go find him in his room. He was supposed to do a presentation, and she found that he had passed away in his hotel room. And that really hit home for me. It really hit me smack between the eyes about how this moment that we have right now is really the only moment that we have in our lives. So that's one of the reasons why I have a passion for helping people make their moments matter. And I know how procrastination and overwhelm can steal those moments from you. So if we fast forward, after graduate school, I then went and worked at a medical school, both doing research and psychotherapy. And after a while there, I realized I was getting overwhelmed again. And what I discovered was that I was really ready to move into the next phase of my career and move away from that work that I thought was my dream job. So I did that so that I could really work my own system, so I could make sure that I was using the steps that I'm going to share with you now, and also the other information that I've learned from all of my work as a psychologist and as a coach. So when I ended up leaving that medical school job, I started True Focus Coaching, which is the company that I own today. And that was about 12 years ago, when coaching was not so popular. And I can tell you, a lot of my colleagues thought I was crazy because they didn't really know what coaching was. And why would I leave this research career and this great psychotherapy practice and go do something completely different? And I did it because I knew it was the right thing for me. And it was really going to help me get to that next level in my life that I was craving. So that's about me. And over the last 12 years, as I've been running my own business, I've really gotten clear about what I love to do and what I do best in terms of coaching. And what I love to do is work with time-challenged entrepreneurs and professionals to help them get a grip on time so that they can get to the next level in their lives and their businesses. So enough about me. Let's talk a little bit about you. So odds are, if you've made it this far in the call and you signed up and you were able to show up, this statement resonates with you, that you know what to do, but you're not really doing it. And that's what most of my clients say to me. And you're probably wondering why there's a picture of giant sea turtles on the screen. And so let me share with you why. I had a client, I'll call him Mario, who would say to me when he was stuck in overwhelm and procrastination, "Sarah, I'm like this big sea turtle on the left. I can't move around on land. My body and my flippers really don't do me any good here. I can't steer in the direction that I want to go. I can't get anywhere quickly at all. I'm really slow and uncomfortable, and I hate it." And after Mario and I had been working together for a while, and I helped him create systems that allowed him to keep procrastination and overwhelm at bay, he then said to me, "Sarah, I feel like that turtle in the perfect environment, like this big sea turtle here on the right. I can swim and get wherever I want to go very easily. And my body, my systems, everything is set up so that I can just do exactly what I want to do. And I'm loving how I'm spending my moments. Just like this guy here on the right, this big sea turtle in the right environment." Right? He can glide, he can swim, he can turn on a dime, and he's living the life that he loves. So that's what's possible from doing this work. You really can bust through that level of overwhelm and procrastination that you have now. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about what procrastination and overwhelm are. What I want you to know is that procrastination is really simply the act of delaying something that you know that needs to get done, right? And delaying isn't always a bad thing. Sometimes it's really the right thing to do. And it can be really a great time management strategy. So the first thing here is I want you to not label everything that you're delaying as procrastinating. Because sometimes when you're delaying, you're making a really good choice to prioritize one activity over another. And that often makes sense. Sometimes, though, what happens is we start to delay and we just push things off that we're capable of doing and that we need to do. That's what procrastination is. And what happens is it becomes this knee-jerk response, becomes what you do when you need to do whatever that particular activity is. And it becomes the only way that you handle that particular activity. So let me give you an example of how procrastination feels. The reason why there's a picture of a little table there on the screen is because I worked with a client named John, and John was a woodworker. And I know you're probably thinking this may not apply to me, but listen to this story because I think it really will ring true for you. When I started working with John, he said to me, "Sarah, I have this little Christmas tree product that could be a great money maker for me, but the problem is I hate making it." And John is a woodworker. He makes this beautiful furniture. It's handmade. It's gorgeous. And people love it. And then he also had this little tiny Christmas tree product that he would make around the Christmas season. It's about 6 inches tall. And it's the kind of thing you can put on your mantle or in the middle of your table. It's a beautiful direction, little piece of something to give to somebody. It's a great gift. It's a great just decoration to have in your home or your office. And the problem that John had, though, was that he would procrastinate all year long making those trees. He would set it aside and avoid it. And all year long he would be thinking, "I need to get to those trees." Because he knew whenever he made them, he would sell out however many he made. But the problem that he would was having was that he would delay working on them for so long that just before the Christmas shopping rush, he would hunker down, crank out as many trees as possible, go to the sales, and sell out, right? So he was really limiting how much money he could make on that particular product because he was limiting the time that he could do the work to get it done. And all year long, he also just was feeling bad because he knew he needed to do it, but he hated doing that work. So as John and I started working together, he said to me, "Sarah, I really need to create a nest egg for myself, and I know that this product really has the potential to help with that, but I don't know how to do it in a different way." So we started talking about how could he break it down in a way that might work for him. And I have to say, he was very resistant to this approach. But once we started talking about how could he make Christmas trees, those little tiny things that didn't take long to do, in an hour or so a week throughout the year, he started to get clearer about how this might work better for him. And what he decided to do was to take one morning a week, Sunday mornings, and what he would do was he would go to his office and work on those Christmas trees, go to the workshop, work on those Christmas trees just for an hour or two a week. And what he found was that not only was he able to get more done during the year, that he was much more relaxed about creating those Christmas trees because he knew that it was just going to happen. He didn't have that pit in his stomach all year long, that he was avoiding doing that, right, that extra emotional stress and strain. And what he also found was that he started to love doing that piece of work. He said to me, "Sarah, I realized that I actually love making these trees. And it only happened because I gave myself enough time and space to do it a little bit at a time. By doing it a little bit at a time and chipping away at it week after week, what would happen is I'd work on it on Sunday, and then during the week I'd find a piece of wood that might be interesting to make a Christmas tree out of. Or I'd find a little leftover paint, and I'd think, oh, I can use that in a Christmas tree." So it also fueled his creativity. So what ended up happening for John was that at the end of the year, not only did he create twice as many Christmas trees as the year before, he did it in a way that was easy, was not stressful, and was a lot of fun. And because he always sells out, what also happened was he doubled his income on that product that year, right? That's amazing. And I don't know who has an open line right now, but I can hear some typing and some crinkling on the line. So if you are not muted, if you want to go ahead and mute yourself, that would be helpful. All right, so that is a story about what procrastination feels like for you and felt like for John and can feel like for you, right? That feeling in your stomach, that continued stress and strain about not doing something that you know you need to be doing. So here's a picture of John's results. Those are the trees that he makes, the ones that are up on the screen now. And I really want you to know what's possible from breaking through procrastination and overwhelm. You can do things like double your income on certain things. You can do things like get to your masterpiece or spend more time doing that stuff that you love with your friends and your family. It really is possible with the steps I'm going to show you today. So let's talk a little bit about why procrastination and overwhelm matter. All right. So one of the reasons that they matter is they keep us in a perpetual state of feeling bad, like John did, right? All year long he was thinking about and worrying about and avoiding doing that work that was easy for him to do, right? It just made him feel horrible all the time. It added that extra level of stress that he really didn't need. They also keep us in a negative spiral where we procrastinate, we feel overwhelmed, and then we procrastinate some more. So I gave you a definition of procrastination, which is delaying something that we know we can do, right? delaying something that we need to do that we know we can do. That's procrastinating. And what happens when we delay is that we then set off emotions, and emotions cause us to get overwhelmed and shut down. And then we keep creating that negative spiral where we procrastinate, we feel overwhelmed, we delay, we procrastinate, we feel more overwhelmed, we delay, and it keeps us feeling bad and stuck. The other thing that happens is it becomes our only way of coping, right? It becomes the only way that we know how to handle certain situations. It's the only way that John knew how to handle doing those Christmas trees. And before we worked together, if you asked him how else he might do it, he really had no idea. All right? So let's talk about my 5 steps to bust through procrastination and overwhelm. And I like to talk about these as though I'm talking about a dragon. So I want you to think about the biggest dragon you can imagine. It's not a little tiny one that sits on your shoulder. It's a huge 5-story tall dragon that breathes fire and has a tail as big as a house. So if you're a Game of Thrones kind of person, you might think of one of Daenerys's huge dragons. If you're not a Game of Thrones person, you might think about Jurassic Park or Jurassic World, those huge life-size dinosaurs that really would eat you alive if they weren't contained and in their own pens. All right, so let's talk about the first step to bust through procrastination and overwhelm. The first step here is to find the beast. Right? What I like to call recognize what's overwhelming you. If there was a dragon that lived outside of your village, you would want to know where he lived, yes? You'd look around, you'd want to know where his den was, and you'd want to find him. Same thing here. You need to start to notice what sets off procrastination or overwhelm, what I like to call the emotional piece of time management. And we all have it. We all have overwhelm, procrastination, freezing, or avoidance. Or we might have that, you know, elusive, oh my gosh, I'm doing something altogether different than what I sat down to do, and it's like 5 hours later, and I'm on Facebook. Holy moly, right? So the first step here is to really recognize where the emotional triggers start. Recognize what's overwhelming you. Okay? Or what's causing you to freeze or avoid. So figure out where it starts. And in order to do that, you need to pay attention to the present moment. And you need to get a sense about when that negative mood starts to creep in. And at first, you might realize, oh my God, I'm completely shut down. I'm completely overwhelmed. I can't think straight. That's what overwhelm is. It's that emotional place where you can't think straight, you can't make decisions, you don't know what to do. Yes? So when you find yourself in that place, or freezing or avoiding, I want you to ask yourself, what set it off? Where did it start? Where does that beast live? Okay? So let me give you an example of a client of mine who actually was a photographer. And what she did was, when we were talking, she would say to me, Sarah, I do fine until I start to do marketing phone calls. I hate doing my marketing phone calls, right? I do fine. I like to do the rest of my work, but it's the marketing phone calls. And she realized that the marketing phone calls were the things that she didn't do because she was copying over her to-do list. And she noticed every week, for several weeks, she kept copying over, make marketing phone calls, and it's exactly what she wasn't doing. Okay? So here's a hint, here's a tool to try, something you can take right off the call today to get a sense about what you're procrastinating on, overwhelmed by, or avoiding. notice what it is that you keep writing over on your to-do list week after week. Okay? That's a hint. Now, not all of the things that you keep writing over are things that you're procrastinating on or avoiding. Sometimes they're big projects and you are chipping away at them. So notice that. But often there are these things that we keep writing over and thinking we're going to do and putting in our calendar, putting on our list, and we're not doing. So use that as a way to start to recognize what's overwhelming you and find that beast. Okay? So what we ended up doing with the photographer who was overwhelmed with making those outgoing marketing calls is I started to ask her, what is it that keeps you from doing it, right? What is it that you say to yourself? And this leads into step two that's on your screen right now, calm the inner fear discussion. Because what she would say to me is, Sarah, you know, I go to make those calls and I feel like nobody's going to hire me anyway and I'm just bugging people and I hate making calls. I'm a kind of an introverted person anyway. It's just really not what I like to do. And if people need me, they'll call me anyway. And guess what? That wasn't working for her. So I helped her identify that internal inner fear discussion, which always starts with something like, I can't. Or I'm not good enough, or I'm a bad person, I'm wrong. And I also know that there's all of these other really nasty, mean things that you say to yourself that is not helping you get things done. So start to notice when you're saying something nasty to yourself. Start to notice what that internal fear discussion sounds like for you. And so what we did with the photographer was we decided to figure out a conversation that was consistent with productivity. That's what I call calming the inner fear discussion. First, you have to identify the negative self-talk, right? That fear discussion. And then you need to create a conversation with yourself that's consistent with productivity to counteract that fear discussion. So what the photographer realized was that when she was making these calls, when she was successful, she was calling people that really valued her services and she was able to help out. So we used that and created a positive discussion that was consistent with productivity that went like this. When I make calls to clients that use my services, I'm solving a problem for them, and that's really helpful, and they actually really like to hear from me, which was true. She found that when she was calling her past clients, they really enjoyed hearing from her. They were busy people. They didn't have time to make outgoing calls, and they always had work for her. So we turned that negative discussion of there's no way I can do this, people won't hire me, I'm bugging people, I hate this, into guess what? I get to help people. People really appreciate my phone calls, I get to solve problems, and it's a win-win. So you hear the difference in that discussion and how it's consistent with productivity? So the conversation that's consistent with productivity usually starts with I can or I'm good at. All right? So that's another tool that you can take right off the call today. Notice that inner fear discussion that's related to the procrastination or overwhelm, freezing or avoidance, and then create a positive discussion that's consistent with productivity. Usually starts out with, I can do. I can do this one thing. I can open the file and get started. I can call one person today at 10 o'clock. Okay? So that is calming the inner fear discussion. The other thing to know about the fear discussion is that it is sometimes also associated with a surge of negative energy. All right. So you look at that thing to do, and that negative discussion happens in your head so quickly that it creates a negative emotion, and you feel bad, right? So that's a negative surge. So let me give you an example of my own negative emotional surge. There are still times in my life where I need to take tests. Now, not that often, but I still need to do it. And I can tell you, it really bugs me. I hate having to take tests, partly because, you know, I have my PhD and I have my coaching certification. I've worked really hard. I know I'm smart, and I don't really need to prove to other people at this point that I'm smart. I get it, and I'm good with it. But there are times when I do have to take a test for, you know, continuing education or some other certification that I want. And what happens for me is the first thing that happens is I get really pissed off because I don't want to take a test, right? So that is the negative surge. I get pissed off. And then what happens is that I get busy studying because I realize I need to take the test, and I love to learn. So that part's not hard. The learning and the studying is not hard for me at all, and I love it. It's a blast often. And I know how to do it. I have a lot of practice. So then the next thing that happens, I'm lucky. I get two surges. Not everybody gets this. So the next thing that happens is I get anxious a couple of days just before the test. So that's my second emotional surge. And I can tell you it's pretty consistent. And what I do at that point is I say out loud to my husband and my best friend, I'm anxious. I have to take a test in a couple of days. And what they say to me is, yep, you're always anxious a couple of days before a test, and you always do fine. And so I take that conversation and I make it into the positive discussion, right? That's consistent with productivity. That's right, I'm always anxious, and I always do fine. So what I need to do is to take care of myself, get a good night's sleep, review my last little bit of studying, and then I'm going to do fine on the test. I always do fine when I'm prepared, and I'm prepared. Okay? So you hear that positive discussion there. Now, not everybody is so lucky and has two emotional surges, but I want you to start to notice what is your pattern. Because now, when that second emotional surge comes in, I can go, oh, this is actually a good sign. Even though in the moment it feels kind of crappy, it's actually a good sign because I know the next thing that's going to happen is I'm going to do well on that test. Okay, and that process is so robust that I can tell you it happens just before doing things like speaking or if I have a big project to do. So now I'm much more empowered because I understand that that negative emotion doesn't necessarily mean bad things. It's just part of my process, and once I can recognize it, then I know how to handle it and move forward, and it doesn't create big problems for me anymore. Okay, so that's step number two, tame the dragon. All right, anybody's desk look like this one? I know somebody does. Or your head feels like this with all the things that you got to do, right, between work and home and everything else. So if you feel like this, there is a solution. So step three is enable your routine and your environment to support productivity, what I like to call engineering your containment system. Now this step has two pieces to it, right? It has enable your routine and enable your environment. So let's start with routine. Routines are these habits that we get into that just allow us to do things and make sure they get done. So you might have a daily routine. You might have a weekly routine. You might have a monthly routine that you know will just happen, so whatever needs to get done just gets done. So what I want you to do is start to notice when there's something that's overwhelming you, or you're procrastinating on it, or you're freezing or avoiding. What I want you to do is say to yourself, is there a routine that I could put in place to make this easier? Okay, so one example is in my business, I know that I need to do bookkeeping regularly, right? And it used to always be that thing on my shoulders. I need to do my bookkeeping. I need to do my bookkeeping, right? And I didn't have a clear routine in my month as to how that happened. So what I do now is I set aside one Friday morning a month. I actually have a bookkeeper come and help me with it, right? So I have some locked-in accountability. Before the bookkeeper came, I did it on my own. Now I have a bookkeeper to help me with it. And what I do when she's there is I also go through all of that other annoying business paperwork that I hate doing. She's my locked-in accountability, and she's the routine. So when Terry comes, I know I'm going to go through that folder of paper that I've been purposefully delaying and holding on to until she came, and I sit down and go through it. All right? So that's an example of a monthly routine that helps me be productive and not feel overwhelmed. All right? The other piece that's important here is to get clear about what your daily routine is about work in general, and what your weekly routine is about work in general. So I call this a flexible template for your week. This is another tool that you can take right off the call today if you want. And it always starts with, when are you working and when are you not working? Okay? So you can start out with just, when am I working? I'm going to start at this time. I'm going to end at this time. And do your best to do nothing but work during that time period. Because one of the biggest time wasters and time robbers we have is continually switching in and out of work mode, right? And our electronics really feed this, right? You're on the phone, you're doing some email related to work. Oh, the text comes in from a family member, maybe a child, you respond to that. Oh, you're in your email, you see something come up about a family member, you go and you do that, then you go back to work, right? So throughout your day, you're always popping in and out of the work context. Every time you move from work to home and home to work, you are using time and energy because you have to load all that new stuff back into your brain. This is why multitasking doesn't work, okay? Because you're switching quickly, and every time you switch, there's a cost. All right? So one of the best ways to start is to get really clear about when you're working and when you're not working. Set up that flexible template for your week, and then practice that. And once you're good at knowing when you're going to work and when you're not going to work, then you can start to add in the must-do work activities, like that bookkeeping example I gave you, the must-do home activities, right, and your must-do fun activities. Because guess what? You need to get the fun in there so that you're fueled for the work you're going to do during the day and all of the other things that you need to do. Okay, so that's setting up your routine to support productivity. Now let's talk about your environment. And this is that piece that I promised earlier about why positive self-talk is only one piece of the puzzle, what people call mindset a lot. And, you know, I just told you about how positive self-talk is helpful, right, in terms of creating that positive discussion that's consistent with productivity. What I also want you to know is that our environment predicts about 80% of our behavior. I'm going to say that again. Your environment predicts about 80% of your behavior. Okay? So here's an example of that. If you are working a really long, hard day outside of the house, and you drive into the house and you walk into your kitchen and everything is clean except your favorite dessert is the only thing on the counter, what are you most likely to eat? You're going to eat that dessert, right? So let's create a different scenario. You work a super long day, you're exhausted, you're tired, you're hungry, you walk in the house, exact same kitchen, except instead of your favorite dessert, what you see is your favorite healthy meal. What are you going to eat? You're more likely to eat that healthy meal. So that's an example of how your environment sets you up for success. So what I want you to do is start to think about, how do you need to set up your physical environment so that you are triggering productivity, not time wasters and time robbers, okay? So here's an example of how you can do this. And this is something that many of my clients do, and I can think about several people that have ended up getting promotions, earning more money, just feeling so much better about themselves because they instituted this one little tool I'm going to tell you about. It's actually a trick. And what you do is you take the one thing that you're going to work on, and you go to a conference room or a empty table that doesn't have anything else on it, and you let other people know not to interrupt you, and you just do that one thing. You also turn off any non-essential electronics. That means you turn your phone off so it's not beeping or buzzing at you. You turn off any instant chat apps that are going to pop up on your computer. And you just do that one thing for 20 minutes to an hour, depending on what is the best time frame for you. But I can tell you that is a really, really powerful strategy. And even if you just do it 3 times a week, you're going to really move forward on your big projects in a different way than you have before. Okay? So when you're thinking about your containment system here, and the reason why I call your routine and your environment your containment system, because it's like in Jurassic Park when they had that big zoo, right? I don't know if you guys have read Jurassic Park or seen the movie Jurassic Park or Jurassic World, but they had life-size dinosaurs, right, real-life dragons, that were in a zoo. And everything was fine until the containment systems went down, right? The perimeters around the big pens that the dinosaurs were in started to go down, and the dinosaurs broke out, started eating the people, and creating problems in the village. All right? So by using your routine and your environment, you can actually keep that dragon at bay. You can keep those dinosaurs outside your village. So the procrastination and overwhelm don't come up and breathe fire on you. Okay? All right, so that is step number 3. And so this is a client of mine, Tracy Engel. She's a lawyer, and she used the routines, setting up her routines to increase productivity, and setting up her environment to support productivity. And by doing that, she was able to stop feeling like she had to work all the time. She was able to actually stop working all the time, get more done during the day with tools that worked for her, so that she knew that her clients were taken care of, that she was maximizing her billable hours, and that everything else was handled. She now is able to take evening and weekends off, and really has created the life that she loves living. And her business is fueled, and her personal life is fueled in a way that works for her. So let's talk about step number 4, and I am cognizant of time here. We've got, about 15 minutes left. I'm going to try and end a few minutes before the end of the hour, so hang in with me here. Step number 4 is get support. And the notion here is, would you defeat a dragon on your own? I know there's somebody who just said yes. And what I can tell you is that only happens in fairy tales. If there was a 5-story tall dragon that breathed fire on you and had a tail as big as a house that could knock you over and fling you across the county in an instant, you would get support to help tame and defeat that dragon. You'd get your neighbors to help you, right? I know you would. And here's the thing. Success never happens in a vacuum. No matter who you think of that's your most idealized successful person that you want to be like, I can guarantee you, even if it looks like she's done it alone, she has not. There are people behind her that are supporting her. You have to peel back that curtain to find out sometimes, but oftentimes there's actually an army back there. So make sure that you are getting support to get to the next level in your life and to bust through the procrastination and overwhelm. and get things handled. Don't try and do it alone. So here's the thing. You need the right kind of support. And just like this guy who's climbing an ice wall here has, you know, he's got cleats on his boots there, right, with spikes so that he can grab onto the ice wall. He's got an ice axe. He's actually in a supportive harness that's tied to a rope because somebody's, you know, he's tied in up above, so he's not going to fall. So make sure you get the right support that works for you, and that you're setting up a customized system to help you bust through procrastination and overwhelm, because it's not one size fits all here. You have to tailor these steps for you. Okay? So in the beginning, I let you know that we had a lot to cover today, and honestly, this is a talk that I can teach for days and days because there's a lot of great information here. I've given you a bunch of tools and tips, and don't worry, I'm going to get to step five, so hold on till we get there. But I wanted to make sure that you knew how to take this further if you chose to. Okay, so I put together something really cool just for the people that are listening to this call or the recording. Because I really have a place in my heart for women in the construction industry and just women in general, helping you bust through procrastination and overwhelm so that you can do the things that only you can do in this world. We need you. We need you out there doing your good stuff, okay? So this is how you can take it further. I've put together the opportunity for you to have what I call a Time Matter Success Strategy session with me. That is about an hour-long call with me at no cost, okay? And the purpose of that call is to help you figure out your next best move to get a grip on time so that you can get to the next level in your life and your business, okay? I promise you it's not a sales pitch. My time on that call is really focused to help you figure out your next best move because I want you to be able to bust through procrastination and overwhelm and get to where you want to go in your life and in your business. But here's the catch. You need to qualify. So you qualify if you're clear that you want to get more done and focus on the things that are truly important to you. You're coachable and ready to make changes. Okay, I'm going to give you some good information, some good next steps on this call. I want to make sure that that's used. You also need to be able to make decisions about your next steps. And you need to be ready to get real about what your time challenges are costing you. Okay? You also need to be really ready to get to that next level in your life and your work, because that's what I'm going to help you with. Okay? So if you want to take it further, I know Jennifer's on the line. She's going to post in the chat box a link to fill out an application for that Time Matter Success Strategy session. And so here's the deal. If you fill it out, my team will get back to you within 3 days. I only have a limited number of spots available because I do these speaking opportunities weekly. And so over the next week, I want to try and get in about 18 people. All right, that's the amount that I have available for this group. So what I want you to do, if you're interested, go ahead and click the link. And it should be in the chat box. And fill out the application completely. We'll get back to you. Now, if you're listening to the recording, feel free to apply. Sometimes what happens is these people don't get back to us once we tell them that they qualify. Okay? So the deal is, if you qualify, we're going to get back to you within 3 business days, and you need to get back to us as soon as possible so we can get you scheduled. Okay? If you don't reply in 3 business days, then we're going to pass and go on to the next person on the list. Okay, so hang on. I want to make sure that we get to the next step number 5. I know we're a couple minutes before the top of the hour here. Okay, so step 5 is keep restarting until you're where you need to be, right? This is that last step in terms of busting through procrastination and overwhelm. What I want you to do is to make sure that you keep restarting using these steps until you're feeling that your procrastination and overwhelm are at bay. All right? So keep recognizing what's overwhelming you. Keep calming the inner fear discussion. Keep enabling your routine and your environment to support productivity. Keep getting the right support. There's a lot of great colleagues on the line here. Support each other. And keep restarting until you're where you need to be. Okay? Restarting also means coming back to a project and starting it again and starting it again and starting it again until it's finished. That's actually what finished looks like. It looks like you keep restarting something until it's done. Okay? So get good at restarting. That is step number 5. All right. So let's be clear. Dragons need tending. All right? You want to make sure that you are marching around the perimeter, right? And that looks like restarting. If you have a dragon that lives outside your village, you are going to make sure that you keep the boundaries, the fences that are keeping him on his area and you inside the village, you want to make sure you're tending them. So make sure that you keep restarting until you're where you need to be. All right, and what I want you guys to remember here, it's all just a good idea until we take action. So I want you to identify one action step that you can take right off the call today and put it into your life. All right, so take a moment right now and write it down. I know you're running into whatever's going to happen at the top of the hour. Take a deep breath and write down one step, something that you want to do, so you can make sure you move it forward in whatever way works for you. Okay, so that's the end of my talk today. I know we have a couple minutes. If there's some quick questions that come up, Jennifer, on the Q&A, I'm happy to answer those. If not, we can gift everybody back a couple of minutes.
Thank you so much. I know I learned a lot. If anybody wanted to ask some questions, I'm going to unmute you all, but you can also still type in the chat box.
Right, and then go on to still pop.
Okay, anybody have a question?
Exactly. But that's good.
Okay, Jasmine, I see on the chat box that you have a question. You want to go ahead and type that in? Type it in? Or you can speak up if you're on the phone. All right, Sharon, you're welcome. Anne, you're welcome. Jasmine, if you want to type in your message. Jesse, I'm glad you enjoyed it. Yeah, Jasmine says, could procrastination be a sign that perhaps we aren't really interested in what we think we are interested in? Yes, it can be. So what you want to notice, Jasmine, is are you always procrastinating on things that are not interesting to you? That is a clue. Now, sometimes we have to do things that really aren't interesting to us. They're kind of boring. So the trick there is to get really clear about what your big long-term goals are for yourself, what I call meaningful goals, right? They're things that you care about that are really, really important to you, not goals that have been given to you by other people. So get clear on your meaningful goals and then try and connect that thing that you're procrastinating on into the big goal in a way that is interesting and pulls you in. Okay, so an example of this is I have to do client billing on a regular basis, as many of us do. So, but billing in and of itself is a boring activity for me. But if I connect it to client service, and that's very important to me, my connection with my clients is very important to me, then it's easier for me to do that mundane, boring billing stuff because it is in service of my bigger goal of having awesome customer service in my business. Make sense? Great. Hope that's helpful, Jasmine. All right. Any other questions? You can speak up or you can type it in the chat box. Sheila, I'm glad it was inspiring.
Okay. Anyone else? If not, thank you so, so much, Dr. Rice-Hegging. I know I learned a lot. I call myself a professional procrastinator, so it was very helpful to me. Thanks again.
Oh, you are welcome. It's my pleasure, and feel free to reach out to me if, again, if anybody wants to learn more about how you can really bust through this stuff, because I know how hard the struggle can be, and really with some clear steps, using these steps, you can bust through.
Wonderful. And again, for all of you, this will be on the NAWIC website through our YouTube channel. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye for now, everybody. Have a great day.